You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this year, the Cancer Society faced a number of consumer complaints regarding its everyday SPF 50+ sunscreen. Now, just yesterday, that same brand was among nine sunscreens found by Consumer NZ to fall far short of their SPF claims. The everyday SPF 50+ sunscreen ranked closer to 30 SPF, while other big labels such as Banana Boat and SunSense returned SPFs from around 20 to 26. Yesterday, I spoke with CEO of Consumer NZ, Sue Chetwin, about the study and the organisation's suggested changes for regulation. She began by clarifying what we mean when talking about SPF.
So SPF stands for Sun Protection Factor, and that measures protection against UVB rays, and it's broad spectrum protection against UVA and UVB rays. So the SPF is the sun protection, and then you look for broad spectrum protection as well.
In order to count as SPF 50, I noticed that it said on your testing it actually has to reach 60 in order to safely make that claim.
Yeah, that's right. So that's if you're making a claim of SPF 50 plus. So yeah, you do need to get to SPF 60. Now, if you do get to SPF 30, you know, that is actually reasonable protection, but it's just not the protection that is being claimed on the label. So you're not buying what you think you're buying.
And, I mean, that is what the chief executive of the Cancer Society, Mike Kernaghan, has said in prediction of this recent batch, saying, you know, it's fine because even if it is only reaching 30, that is still providing high protection. Why is that kind of not okay?
Well, you know, from our perspective, if it can't get to SPF 50 plus, then why not make a claim that it is 30 plus? Because then they will be right. And, you know, why should consumers think they're buying better protection than what they are actually buying? And, of course, they all want to make the claims of being 50 plus so that consumers will buy them. You know, and if you're going to make those claims, then you have to make sure that you achieve them.
And so what kind of repercussions are there for making these sorts of claims that aren't true?
Well, so in the Cancer Society's case, they have agreed to withdraw the batch, the same, you know, batch number that we tested. We think they should just withdraw that whole range and retest them and make sure that they do meet the SPF 50+. So I guess there are three things that we want to see. We want to see that it's mandatory for all New Zealand sunscreens to have to achieve compliance with the Australia-New Zealand sunscreen standard. And at the moment, that's voluntary in New Zealand. And it's hard to believe that in a country that has a higher melanoma as we do, that it is voluntary. And the second thing is that we think that these sunscreens should all have to be tested every year. So some of them rely on old certificates that, you know, they could be 5 or 6 years old. And then we also think that there should be some testing around the labs as well, so that the manufacturers are using reputable labs.
Right, so obviously you guys at Consumer NZ are completely independent, but these companies, surely, as you're saying, have their own scientists and labs who would have tested these products. And in the case of the Cancer Society, they claim that they had that batch tested in an independent FDA-approved laboratory.
Yep, they do, and that's absolutely right. They do, you know, send all their sunscreens out for testing, as, you know, all the other manufacturers claim. But many of the manufacturers that we deal with say that they have tested, and this is including the Cancer Society, they've tested their products at a lab in the USA called AMA Laboratories, and they have been under investigation by the FDA. Four of their most senior staff have pleaded guilty to producing misleading sunscreen results, and the owner of the lab is on charges. Now, those charges, I think, were laid in 2017, and since then, the FDA has accredited the lab. But we would ask, why would you use that lab? Now, we tested the sunscreens at a accredited lab in Australia and one in Germany, and both labs came back with similar results. So, you know, I guess we're standing behind our results.
We do have, I'd say, a heightened interest in sun protection in New Zealand specifically. Yep. Does that play a factor in it when these overseas labs are testing?
No, there are no labs in New Zealand, no accredited labs in New Zealand, so you have to go overseas.
Right.
There used to be two in Australia, but it's now down to one. And sunscreen testing, you know, there's kind of an interesting science because you do have to test on human subjects. And to get a sort of a proper test, you have to test on 10 people.
Is that quite dangerous for the people involved?
Well, the people involved, agree to be exposed in this way, but yeah, it is on real people.
Kind of just an interesting point I wondered is if the 50 plus SPF sunscreens are only reaching about 30, it kind of begs the question, what are the 30 SPF sunscreens ranking it up to? And have you guys conducted any studies on those kinds?
Yeah, look, over the years we've tested all different numbers, SPF 30, sort of 50. In the US you can buy sunscreens, I think, that even claim 100%. And it's a little bit misleading, you know, an SPF 60 is not double 30, you know, that's not how the sort of spectrum works. So that's why we say that anything that is an SPF 30 plus is actually providing good protection. Like, you're not getting double the protection by getting, you know, 50 plus.
When you're making these kinds of claims in advertising, I mean, is that just mere advertising speak, or can that be a form of misrepresentation, especially with something so scientific such as sun protection?
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a question mark around that, and I understand the Commerce Commission is having a look at sunscreens and looking to do some of its own testing, because if you make a claim on a label, then, you know, that item has to be true to the claim that's being made. So the manufacturers, they will be substantiating their claims by producing test certificates that show that they do reach these standards. But as I said, some of these test certificates can be 5 or 6 years old sometimes, or, you know, even older. So we think that there should be an obligation to test every year, because the manufacturers say if they haven't changed anything in the formulation, why should they retest? But we think that they should be obliged to do that. And also with these sunscreens, I mean, they're all tested in lab conditions, but that's not how consumers use them. They have them, you know, lying in the back seat of the car, on the dashboard. So how long do these sunscreens actually hold the actual SPF? We think there's a question mark around that too.
I know there are many concerns out there about the environmental effects of some of these sunscreens on our coral. Did your studies concern the effectiveness of any of these natural sunscreens as an alternative?
Look, we did look at some natural ones, and I think there is a natural one that did fail to meet its claim of 50 plus, but I think it was at 40. So you're still getting good protection there. You know, whether they're natural or not, we were really just looking at their SPF efficacy. And, you know, if there was a natural one there that did reach its 50 plus claim, then well and good.
That was Sue Chetwin, CEO of Consumer NZ. The name of that last sunscreen she was referring to was Frankie Apothecary Natural Sunscreen, but you can find the full study on Consumer NZ's website.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.